Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Drives to the right hand, ball poked free by Trent. Now he's going to pull up, feeds and fires, and he hit it. With 0.3 seconds remaining, Donovan Mitchell has just ripped the heart out of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Bucks talk starts now.
Prince gets it into Lillard, gets the shot off in time, it missed off the back iron, and that is that.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, certainly a suboptimal result as the Bucks now 1-5 on the season. A very big hole to start to climb out of here. I know it's probably not the audience for this in reading the room, but the tough part about really two games that we can point to, I suppose three during this losing streak, but especially those games here at home against the Chicago Bulls 1 week ago and a couple of days later in Brooklyn against the Nets, as Doc Rivers himself said, two very, very bad games by his team. If you don't have those results, games like tonight look much different. And there's a lot more optimism, I think, and positive things to build on and reasons to say, hey, when they get Chris Middleton back, I do like where it's headed with this group. Unfortunately, none of that is applicable because you lost those games to the Bulls, to the Nets, to the Memphis Grizzlies. And I'm starting to feel like a broken record here, but now Monday night, it's the same thing that we keep coming back to, and that is finding that consistency. Because I do feel good about where this team appears to be headed, leaving this game. I'm not going to try to spin the 1-5 start as a good thing, but the process looked much better tonight. And I think still, this is their best game of the season. As much as we praised what we saw in Philadelphia on the season opener, and you won that game, the only time you've been able to do that so far this season, tonight it was against a much better team. Tonight it was back and forth. Tonight you were really tested, and I thought your defense played well enough to win the game for you. Your offense, still missing that third guy, which we'll get to, but your offense played well enough. You get 75 combined points from Giannis and Dame. You shoot better than 40% from three, and you lose the game. I mean, that is the disheartening part of it, and that's going to be the challenge, even though this is a veteran team, to start to move forward. Because now at this point, it's still a tough schedule in front of you for these next four games, but the mindset is just as important as anything else. Like, you cannot have that body language and get down. Like, it is still very early in the season. You may have cost yourself some seeding lines here in this process, but that needs to be the approach for this team moving forward and starting on Monday night. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Brandon, what were your thoughts on this one? Because in a vacuum, who cares, right? Like, you look good, and Donovan Mitchell hit a tough shot to end the game, even though you had things go your way where you thought maybe you were going to get an over and back. Pretty good defense by Gary Trent to knock it loose there as well. But you lose the game. In a vacuum, a lot to build on, but unfortunately we don't have that advantage. It's 1-5 now is what we're looking at.
Yeah, it's, Justin, a gutting loss. I mean, it really was, because not only did they need to win, obviously you're looking at a 1-5 start, but it was the probably off the top of my memory, and you might be able to correct me here. I might be reaching a little bit, but maybe the best game Giannis and Dame have played together, maybe since they've been together at home too, in front of the home crowd. It felt like the complete game for those two. And I think you and Dave even talked about it. It felt like a playoff game. And part of me felt like it was, Justin, for the Bucks. I mean, the Cavs were kind of coming in here, and, you know, obviously they were trying to win the game, but they also are 6-0 and on the second leg of a back-to-back, and maybe it wasn't a must-win type game for them. This is the Bucks' second home game of the year. They've lost now five in a row. Before they lost tonight, it was four in a row. Needed this win. It felt like they needed this win. I don't want to say to save their season, because we're far from that conversation, but they needed this win to kind of turn the tide on the early storyline. for their early struggles, and you got exactly what you needed from your two best players, and then some. I mean, I think it was 10 three-pointers tonight from Dame. You mentioned it's 75 points combined for the two. You just needed your role players to pick it up, man, and it just felt like that was the letdown for tonight, and it's frustrating because it was a game that they had full control over, you know, early in that second quarter. They dominated the opening quarter, and it just felt like maybe we can get this thing rolling. Guys are getting wide open shots, man. Gary Trent Jr. is missing wide open shots, and eventually that stuff is going to fall. The bench has just been an utter disappointment. But to put a bow on my initial thoughts here for you, I'm just gutted because it was one of the best games that we may see from a duo of Giannis and Dame, and you lost on a terrific shot, a shot where you just got to tip the cap, you know, to Donovan Mitchell. But those are the types of games that really hurt to lose, is when you do almost everything right. And obviously the Bucks want some more out of other players, but for your two best players, that was the best game that we've seen from them, and it resulted in a loss.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. There's Brandon's thoughts. Curious to hear your thoughts as well. 1-5 start to the season for the Bucks. Look, there's a lot of positives from this game, but it's a tough sell to say, hey, I feel good about where this team is headed. I understand that, given that record of 1-5 and a very real possibility, Brandon, of 2-8, 3-7. Like, that's your first 10 to start the season. I know some cautioned that and warned that when you looked at this schedule early. I suppose I was too naive. Maybe it was the assumption that Chris Middleton would be here and this team would be healthy too. I just thought all along, yeah, I still think maybe they'll be 5-5, but probably 6-4 is what to expect. And that's not going to happen. So the big thing is just minimize the damage, right? Avoid a total disaster of a 2-8 or 1-9 start to the season here. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. A lot of calls to get to no surprise, as the Milwaukee Bucks now 1-5 to start the season. We'll hear from you after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Donovan Mitchell, with 0.3 seconds, really ripped the heart out of this building tonight and drops the Bucks to 1-5 on the young season now. The Cavs, one of two unbeaten teams in the league. They are 7-0. The 6-0 start was only the second time they had done it. The other time involved LeBron James. So this is their best start since they had LeBron on their team. And they look good. I know it's early, but we witnessed this in Milwaukee. The Denver Nuggets, I think, experienced this as well 2 years ago. And Kenny Atkinson talked about it before the game tonight, too, that there is something to be said for just sticking with the plan and knowing you don't always win on your first try. Like, it's a process to build up to, and that's what this group did. And said, look, it's not me. It's continuity that I walked into with this group. I mean, I know we talked about the Drew Holiday trade, but everything else, for the most part, about that Bucks team, that continuity was there. And those pieces have been there throughout this entire run with Giannis, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton on the roster. I know some of you will be quick to point out, you didn't have Chris tonight. But you saw the benefit the Bucks had there, where it just requires minor tweaking. Same with the Denver Nuggets, that they kept putting their faith in Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and their big move was, let's win on the margins with a KCP. Let's bring in Aaron Gordon in our big move. And it paid off. It's very early, but it appears to be doing the same. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but that part, the continuity, appears to be doing the same for the Cleveland Cavaliers. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Todd in Green Bay. You're up next.
Hey, all right, Justin, Brandon. Okay, you got Donovan Mitchell, best player on Cleveland. And you have a timeout before that play. You got, no one's mentioned this, and you know where I'm going. You got the Greek Freak, defensive player of the year, what, a couple times? You put him on him. You, Justin, you've been saying it since the game ended. and then in here. And then Brandon has also. This was a game. You had a full house. You had a full house. I wasn't there. I'm in Green Bay. And I can't believe you don't have the Greek Freak on him. He is your defensive group. I mean, I don't get it.
Go ahead. That's not his role, though. And Giannis is not a great perimeter. Todd, hang on. Giannis is not a great perimeter defender. I wouldn't want to put him out there on that assignment. And then do that. Okay, fine. So they can just get a quick action and dump it into Jared Allen or Evan Mobley to score for a smaller guy and win the game. It's a one.
Which they did all the second half.
It was in there. They're not going to dump it in. It was his ball. He's going up against the Greek Freak, and he's going to give up the ball? No, he's not giving up that ball. And the Greek Freak is going to win that matchup. So I understand what you're saying. I get it. But let's think out of the box. We got a full crowd in Milwaukee.
What is the crowd have to do with Giannis defending Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, come on. I mean, really? We lost, right? We lost. Would you not like to see what would have happened?
I can honestly, thanks for the call, Todd. That thought never crossed my mind.
What's Justin, I got a question for you to go off of that call real quick. When Mitchell lost that ball and it almost went out of bounds, what were your thoughts? In the moment, I thought Giannis should have ran and maybe double team trapped him in that on that elbow. And I don't know who was in the corner. Was it Mobley? I mean, I don't remember exactly who Giannis was on in that moment. But I thought in the moment watching it live, like, he should have just kind of squeezed him. I think Gary Trent Jr. was his main defender.
Doc even said that was kind of, not to blame Giannis, but that was kind of the problem in that it's your reaction to go out there. When Gary Trent got his hand on the ball and poked it loose, he and Giannis, both converged for the ball. But in doing that, it opened up the middle of the floor for Donovan Mitchell. It was still a tough shot, but
there was no resistance
there after that happened. So in some ways, you know, Gary Trent Jr. poking the ball loose ended up being a bad thing for the Bucks on that set.
Yeah, it could bail Donovan Mitchell out for sure.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Let's head back to the phone lines, talk with Finn in Milwaukee. You're up next.
Yeah, so what I saw tonight was a good game by the Bucks. The two things that stood out to me was our free throw shooting and turnovers. And if we just look at free throws, we shot 60% from the line, which is something that an NBA team should definitely be shooting better than. And then the other big thing was the turnovers. I mean, it was a neck-and-neck game, and we had twice as many turnovers. So if we could just improve on our free throws, I mean, I think we're definitely winning games like this. But I don't think you can ask the team to play much better other than not turning the ball over as much and shooting better from the free throw line.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for the call, Finn. I mean, they played well enough to win this game, and that's the frustrating part about being 1-5 and what you'd seen really against Chicago and against Brooklyn, and I suppose against the Memphis Grizzlies as well, is you didn't see the same level of play in those games. You saw it for about half the game against the Boston Celtics. You saw it for the entire game against an albeit undermanned Philadelphia 76ers team. You saw it all game against the Cavs. So one of the things that we saw at times last year was this team playing to the level of their competition. That's not what we're seeing, or at least the only thing we're seeing here. But that's one of the things when we talk about consistency, and especially in a conference that is more stacked than it has been in decades, that is going to be a challenge if that remains true, because you cannot afford to do that. There aren't as many free passes out there in the league. And even if you say, well, the devil's advocate is they play to the level of their competition, if there's more better teams, they're going to be playing pretty well throughout the start of the season. You're going to wear yourself out doing that. As far as the turnovers go, it's been a major issue for this team all season long. But tonight, I actually did not have an issue with it. I didn't feel like it stood out all that much. I know by the numbers, yes, they had twice as many. They had 13. The Cavs had 7. But with turnovers, I think the two important things to track with those are what type of turnover. So is it a live ball? Is it a dead ball? And what does the opponent do with those turnovers? At least 5 of those turnovers were offensive fouls for the Bucks, which I'm not trying to say isn't an issue. Like, it took the wind out of your sails a couple of times. But they weren't live ball turnovers, which this team really struggled with through that 4-game losing streak of turning the ball over and just jump-starting the opponent's transition. Like, the Cavs had 13 fast break points tonight. They've been one of the best teams in the league at scoring from that spot on the floor, scoring in that situation, I should say. And the Bucks did a good job of dictating the pace. They pushed the pace early in this game, and we saw them get back quite a bit on defense. There are still lapses and lulls, as Doc Rivers described it, where that wasn't the case. But by and large, I didn't have an issue with that tonight in terms of the turnovers because it wasn't all live ball turnovers like we've seen quite a bit of. And you still did a better job in your transition defense with the Cavs just scoring 12 points off of those, or 15 points off of your 13 turnovers. You scored 12 off their 7.
I think that's the frustrating part, though, Justin, too, is when you look at losses like this, to go back to Finn's point, when you lose by a point, it's always easy to point out, you missed 6 free throws. Damian Lillard seemed to have kind of a weird moment in the game where he missed a couple that didn't seem like Dame at all. But for me, the difference in this game was you were minus 23 in bench scoring. That's the killer. You're getting absolutely nothing off your bench. I don't know why Pat Connaughton is still seeing minutes. I don't know why A.J. Green is not seeing minutes. Delon Wright has been atrocious. That's the difference in the game. You're not getting anything off the bench from this Bucks team. I mean, Bobby came in, and I think he had, 10 points in 20 minutes. I mean, Chris Middleton is such a big piece of this team because I think Dave mentioned it. Taurean Prince, with a great night tonight, has 16 coming off the bench, and that's just not the case right now, but you got to get more out of your bench. And this is maybe another conversation for another day, but I don't understand the Pat Connaughton situation with this team and what he brings. For me, you obviously can nitpick free throws and turnovers, and I thought the Bucks were better tonight with the turnovers, especially Giannis. The other frustrating part was just the loose balls, the second chance points that you gave the Cavs. I think Doc mentioned it in his post game. I mean, that the ball coming off the rim and it's hitting the ground, and the Cavaliers are getting a second and third chance opportunity. And when with the shooters that they have, the scoring that they have, and the length that they have, they're going to put the ball in the cup more times than they're not. So bench points and second chance points, which seems to be the Achilles heel for this team this year.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. I thought second chance points. I thought Cleveland got theirs in moments we remember more because everything was even there. You know, like the Bucks did a pretty good job on the glass. It was just when they didn't, it stood out more. They both scored 13 points via second chance. So it wasn't an area where you were absolutely obliterated, which I had a pretty big concern level, a pretty high concern level of that being the case coming into this matchup. And again, it just goes back to that's what makes this frustrating is you see this team show the ability to play to that level with the Cleveland Cavaliers. A few people asking too, did they really play that well, or was this just a case of Damian Lillard shooting the lights out and Giannis was really good? And I still maintain, no, they played pretty good throughout the course of this game. Like offensively, that was your story, Giannis and Dame, and especially from deep. Dame hit 10 of your 18 threes. But defensively, they did more than enough to keep you in this game. That defense played well enough to win the game for you. It just came down to some of those little things that we've nitpicked through these nitpicking probably isn't even the right way to put it. It's been an issue. But some of those little things we've touched on through these first handful of games just popped up in the most inopportune times for this team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Still a few more calls to get to here. Tough one for the Bucks. The Donovan Mitchell game winner with 0.3 of a second left sends the Bucks to 1-5 on the season. More after this on Bucks Talk.
The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Tough one tonight inside of Fiserv Forum. Donovan Mitchell rips the heart out of the building with a game winner. 0.3 seconds remaining in the Bucks, now 1-5 to start this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Q in Milwaukee. You're up next.
Justin, I'm a big fan of yours. Thanks for having me. I've got a couple observations, but I just want to remind the listening audience, tomorrow is the last day for early voting in Wisconsin, so get out there and vote. I was at the game. I was devastated. I'm balding, and I think I pulled some of my hair out after Donovan Mitchell hit that shot, but there's a lot more to like than dislike in this game. The Giannis Dame two-man game is looking
perfect.
Amazing. Like, there were a couple no-look passes from Giannis to Dame, and they weren't in the corner. Like, I was stunned. So I'm very excited. I think it'll be fun to rematch against an undefeated team on Monday. Quick question for you, though. Why do random guys just destroy this defense? Like, tonight it was Sam Merrill, but it just seems like one guy that you wouldn't expect goes supernova, and that's the difference in each game. Thanks, Justin.
Every game.
Yeah, thanks
every
for the
game.
Call. The Sam Merrill
He's right.
one, too, was especially frustrating because, I mean, you know Sam Merrill. You know what he's capable of. He set the record, hit the record-breaking three for three-pointers in a game down in Miami as a member of the Bucks way back when. They still just have these moments, and this just may be what the defense is because, you know, I think a lot of us took for granted just how good Jrue Holiday was defensively. We knew he was good. I'm not trying to say, holy cow, he was good. Like, you weren't surprised by that. But I don't think you truly realized just how much everything was working in tandem between he and Brook Lopez, and prior to Jrue, between Eric Bledsoe and Brook Lopez, how much you needed that perimeter ball pressurer out there to really tie in with Brook, and then Giannis is the ultimate help defender. But it's really been exploited the past few years where you just see, well, past a year plus, I should say, where you just see it, you don't have that stopper on the perimeter. And with that, you saw more of it through the first four games of this losing streak tonight. You didn't see quite as much, but it just backs up the margin for error. When you're not executing defensively, when you're not executing on both ends of the floor, and when you're not fully healthy, what that margin of error for a team, even with Giannis and Dame, has become that when you do have those moments of, oh, shoot, I got caught ball watching, and we just had a couple of back screens, and now Sam Merrill is out there wide open on the perimeter, or Peyton Pritchard is out there, or you name it. That's what we've seen. And we didn't see quite as much of it tonight, but you know, Doc Rivers said after the game he was especially frustrated because Sam Merrill was a guy we knew. We said, look out for him because in those moments that he comes in, he's going to shoot. And he cited what I think it was two or three that Sam hits early in the second quarter. When the Bucks, everything was looking great. Offensively, they were dictating the pace. I do want to get to that in a second. But then all of a sudden, I remember you looked up down at the scoreboard and saw, man, it's a five-point game. And overall, I was more than pleased with the way this team looked for the first 24 minutes. I talked about it at halftime during one of the breaks, Dave and I. You just had this uneasy feeling of, I feel really good about how we've executed tonight, how we looked, the way that Giannis and Dame are playing together as well. But they're only up by one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the thing that had you raise your eyebrow and think, huh, what's the second half going to look like?
Oh, and it was any time Giannis went out that you kind of held your breath a little bit, at least for me, because I believe he went out in that second quarter. He didn't start the second quarter, and that's kind of when things unraveled. I believe they went on a 13-0 run. the offense just kind of became stagnant and over-helping on defense, some of the same things that we've seen to begin this season. But to go back to that caller, he's absolutely right. It is, I think I mentioned it a couple shows ago, Justin, they're called butt killers, and they're on every team until they come to Milwaukee, and then they don't hit anything, a la Gary Trent Jr. tonight and really to begin this season. A notable butt killer in Toronto, and an awful night tonight. Awful start to the season. Hopefully he can turn it around, but we've seen it before. It's a random guy who you got to look at the roster. It's going to be a career night for somebody off that bench.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. A couple of callers, a couple of regulars I see waiting on hold that we'll get to in a moment. But I also mentioned the way the Bucks were dictating things and what really stood out the most. I think we touched on some of it in the two-man game between Giannis and Dame. There were some specific things that I think were really highlighted tonight. And Gary Trent Jr., since you mentioned the name, I do want to get into that coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
1-5 starts to the season for the Bucks after this tough one tonight. Gut-wrenching, gut-punching, deflating. Felt that way for those inside the building tonight because you saw the Bucks. You can't say turn the corner if it would have put you to 2-4. Like you opened the door and you took a step towards turning the corner, but you didn't fully turn the corner if you win tonight. But it all gets tossed by the wayside after Donovan Mitchell knocks down that shot. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Will I Am here up next.
Justin, Brandon, so much for taking my call. Hey, unlike the last few times I've called in, I do want to also agree with the previous callers that the game did look a lot better overall. There were stretches when, you know, we had a big lead and they casually came right back. But I'm really overall impressed with the resiliency. I know that needs to be improved, obviously, to close out the W. But with the first caller saying that Giannis should have been on Donovan Mitchell, absolutely not. That would have been literally a layup jam to win the game, which would have been even more upsetting. The things that I took away from this game that kind of lost the Bucks here at the end was the effort and the intensity on loose balls. There was a part maybe with a minute left in the game was within one or two, the Bucks having the lead, and Giannis just let Darius Garland slide right on by him on the ground to will themselves to get the ball. Mm-hmm. And that was a big burner for me. And the guy I was sitting next to at the game, we looked at each other after Dame missed those free throws, and we literally told each other it'd be a shame if this came down to free throws. And when you're bricking them up at the line, man, I'm proud of how we held in there. Yeah. We need to fix the fundamentals, Justin. And those corner threes and with those Bucks killers coming out of nowhere, like Brandon was saying, man, you got a hard task at hand. And like I said, the door was open. The door was open. And just we got to finish closing, man. I'm happy for our team. I know we'll bounce back, man. Go Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially tough. Thanks for the call, Will. On a night where Dame misses three free throws, too. Like, and they all came
rarely
early.
Happens.
Yeah. Let's squeeze in one more call here before a couple of things I wanted to get to from Giannis and Dame. Jeff in Beloit, you're up next.
Hey, thanks for having me here. First time calling in. Couple things. I kind of agree, kind of disagree, but I think with Giannis, you know, they've never tried him. I mean, maybe Kidd did in the beginning, but you know, when he was a little thinner, but they've never tried actually seeing what he could do in terms of guarding perimeter. Even if he can't stay with Donovan, he's got a 7-foot wingspan, so he's going to affect his shot. That being said, you know, I don't think if we make that trade last year, we don't have Dame, say we have Drew, I still don't think we win at all. But one thing we're missing is a guy like Drew. And we've gotten ourselves so old in terms of, you know, you look at the Packers, you look at the Brewers, we're going the opposite direction in terms of youth. And you look at some of the losses that we have, we don't have young guys. We don't have guys. Like when we played against the Bulls, we've had some of the losses this year. We cannot hang with perimeter D guarding the three. In fact, it feels like for the last 8 years, we've had a new team set like a record for shooting threes on us all the time. And, you know, we got to try different things. And I don't know if, you know, this coach is the answer. I mean, he doesn't have a great track history. And we need to get some youth. We need some draft picks. But they need to mix a few things up this year, including on D and what they have. But I would love to see them still bring in a couple of young guys. There's a guy right now, I think his name is Moravia. He's 6'7". He's on another team. I'm trying to think who it is right now, but I don't want to take all your time. Why don't they look at a couple guys like that? Bring in some guys that can get some boards, that can come out and play the perimeter. They can play everywhere. We really don't have that right now. And without that, maybe a guy like Giannis and somebody else, they're going out and attacking. At least with their hands in the air, doing something that makes a difference. But right now, yes, it's encouraging. But, like, this doesn't look like it's the answer once again.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jeff. I mean, famous last words, but I can't say it is or isn't the answer until we see this group as imagined, with Chris Middleton back on the floor. That was one of the bigger things to take from the Memphis loss, I think, is the defense got poked at a lot, and I'm not going to say the defense looked good, but there were some reasons why that defense didn't look anything like passable against the Memphis Grizzlies. I do want to get into that and what we saw from Giannis and Dame together in this game after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
What a 5 start to the season for the Bucks after this loss to the Cavs, 114 to 113. Look, there's a lot of work that's going to go into turning around from a 1-5 start. I mentioned a couple of times, every team has stretches like this multiple times in a season. Well, not every team, but most teams have stretches like this. And some of the times it occurs multiple times. Unfortunately for the Bucks, it's come in your first 6 games of the season when there is more focus and attention on it than any other time, maybe save for coming out of an All-Star break or something. And there's no sample size with this group to compare against. So that's the challenging part. It's very important you see a similar process Monday night in Cleveland. Like, even if the result isn't there and this team unfortunately drops their 6th consecutive game, something they have not done since, I believe, 2015, even if that's the case, if you play similar to how you played tonight and you're in the game and Cleveland wins by a couple of possessions, but man, the Bucks, they went back and forth with them. They look good. That, to me, is a huge sign that they are headed towards going on a run. Doc Rivers said that before the Grizzlies game, and then we saw the results. If I feel good, I feel like we're headed on a run, it's going to happen really soon. If you can stack that, I think there is validity to that. But that's the biggest challenge, is we have yet to see this team piece these together in multiples. And that's what you're going to have to do very, very quickly here. Now, one way you can do that is with the way that Giannis and Dame are playing together. Brandon, I don't know about you if it stood out as much watching on TV, but in the early going in that first quarter, the body language, everything about Giannis, he was incredible. But what stood out the most to me, he was very vocal offensively, and not that Giannis never does this, but you saw more and more of Giannis communicating with his teammates during timeouts. He was setting screens with a purpose for Damian Lillard. And I remember one specific sequence, one specific possession in the game, where they were trying to get something running, and it just wasn't working. And I thought the Bucks showed a lot of patience offensively tonight, maybe too much. They tried to get something, it didn't work, and then Giannis forcefully called to Dame, like, no, give me the ball, give it back to me, come here. I'm going to set the screen for you. And he did. It freed up Dame. He knocked down the shot. Cavs called a timeout. I think that's what extended their lead to 16 or double digits. But I saw a lot of that. And I know I mentioned a lot. One of the reasons why Dame looks so good with Brook Lopez, and we're still waiting to see that, is because of the screen setting. That was not a factor tonight. And if Giannis is going to be that screener every single game, you've really got something here. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case, and nor should it, because you don't want Giannis to just be the big man that sets screens and occasionally rolls to the rim. But it worked tonight. Like, he and Dame looked great. I know we had somebody mention the passes that he had to him, not just in the corner, but that behind-the-back corner outlet to him. Everything about it, it looked fantastic. And I do wonder if one of the ways to pull yourself out of this is, you know, basically the conversation that took place decades ago between Don Nelson and Marcus Johnson, and that Marcus, I know how gifted you are offensively, but we need help defensively. And Giannis, look, I know we saw what you did last year and how efficiently you did it. I know you could average more than 30 in a game this season. But for the time being, while we're still figuring things out, I need you to be impactful defensively. And maybe that means the scoring is taking a little bit of a hit where you're picking your spots a little bit more. We got Dame that we'll rely on for that. But for the time being, until we get healthy, until everything starts to fall in place defensively with this group, I need you to focus on defense. I don't think that's totally what we saw tonight, but the way that Giannis picked his spots, the way that Giannis initiated fast breaks and pushed the tempo for the Bucks, it was everything you've wanted to see from this group.
Yeah, I can't agree anymore with that, Justin. And Melanie Ricks on the broadcast actually mentioned Giannis being a little bit more vocal during team timeouts, which also kind of caught my eye a little bit. Not that he hasn't been vocal before, but certainly early parts in the season, it's something to keep an eye on. But I agree with you. I have it in my game notes right here, his playmaking throughout the course of the game. I mean, he finished with – he was one assist shy of a triple-double. I mean, he was fantastic. And that pass to Damian Lillard might be the best pass we've seen Giannis ever make. It might be one of the best passes you see.
I mean, it's certainly the best pass we've seen him make to Dame, yeah.
Right. And it felt like – and that's what I was mentioning – in my initial thoughts for the game, was that it was the best game those two have played together, because I completely agree with you. And that's what made this loss so much more worse for me. It was like, man, it felt fluid. It felt Giannis was setting good screens. He was rolling around to the basket. Damian was hitting shots. I mean, he was finding Giannis. I mean, he was efficient. And that was the frustrating part at the end of the night to see them lose in the fashion that they did, because I agree with you. It was fantastic to see it. And again, it's a loss. It sucks. There's absolutely nothing that can be done to it now. You got to look at the positives, because that's all you got at this point. And hopefully this is something that these two can learn from going forward. Holy cow, we're pretty good at playing this two-man game and playing off of each other. We should probably do it a little bit more, and let's just get a little bit more help from, you know, those role players. And that's really what it comes down to for this team. I mean, 75 points, Justin, between the two of them. You're not going to get a better night from them. You got to get more from the other guys, and I think going forward they will, especially when Chris is back.
Yeah, 75 points should be good enough to win.
Yeah.
You know, like 75 from your two best guys. I don't know how many times you're going to lose when that's the case. And that's the unfortunate thing, too, is, you know, two games now that you've had them both score 30 this season, and it's two losses. Granted, against the unbeaten Cavs and the Boston Celtics, but that's part of the process in digging yourself out of this. I do want to wrap things up with one other player in the starting lineup that we've talked about a little bit tonight, and that is Gary Trent Jr. Some thoughts on him, why it is nowhere near panic time for Gary Trent Jr. and what we've seen. We'll do that after this on Bucks Talk.
A round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
1-5 start to the season for the Bucks, who come up short against the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight and now look to regroup Monday night in Cleveland against those same Cavs. We did mention Gary Trent Jr., Brandon, so I do want to get to him quickly before we wrap here. 1-14 his last two games. The shot has not been there so far. I am nowhere near hovering over the panic button when it comes to Gary Trent Jr. We talked about slumps and bad shooting stretches that every team has, players have. Gary Trent Jr. has that right now too, but unfortunately for him, it's at the start of his Bucks career. They're good looks that he's getting. Mm-hmm. Eventually those shots are going to start to drop. I think the challenge for Gary Trent Jr. is just the way he's used here versus what he was able to do in Toronto and Portland, where, you know, he's not Steph Curry, but he was the guy that was moving off of screens a lot and had a lot of those setups to get him the ball and be able to dribble and walk into his shot. It's not just Gary Trent. I mean, it's been the history of the two-guard spot when this roster's been assembled as it is. Your primary job is catch and shoot open threes. So I think part of it is that's just the adjustment. So looking for other ways to get him going, letting him attack and find pin downs and put the ball on the floor and drive to the basket to just see the shot go through the net, I think that's probably what you have to go to. But I have no fear that, oh, man, the Bucks got Gary Trent Jr. and now all of a sudden he can't shoot.
Yeah, and I think the frustrating part with fans, and especially for myself, is I'm with you, Justin. I'm not going to press the panic button just yet because I think a lot of this will simmer down and a lot of the pressure will fall off their shoulders once Chris Middleton comes back and kind of carries that load as the third scorer. But for me, I think just the frustrating part is just the looks are there, man. I mean, they're – and it's not like he's doing, you know, anything crazy. It's just the – I mean, I think his perimeter defense is pretty good. They're just wide open looks. And he had a big one today, and I know he only had one today. But you got to give him credit where credit is due. I think they were down two, maybe they were down three, and he tied it up, or he gave the Bucks the lead with a three late in that game. It was under 2 minutes. So, I mean, that was a clutch three. So, again, yes, he struggled. Nowhere near ready to panic on him yet. When we get Chris Middleton back, and I really hope that sooner rather than later, a lot of these Gary Trent Jr.'s, Taurean Prince, I already mentioned him, Pat Connaughton talk, they'll kind of fade away a little bit because those minutes will be taken up by other guys in different roles. But I'm not worried about him yet. Just those shots are going to eventually fall for him.
Yeah, those shots are eventually going to fall. And, you know, as we mentioned, that's just – it's the spot this team is in now with a 1-5 start, which, hey, if you called this, credit to you. I was certainly blind to it. And knowing the schedule was as difficult as it is to start the season for the Bucks, I still did not envision this. But, look, I know it's a tough sell.
But I think I said 2-10 to start.
Oh, well.
Which they're on pace for.
I know.
I hope it doesn't get to that point. But
I know it's a tough start, but if – I can see, if we can all see more of what we saw tonight, Monday, in Cleveland. And like I said, even if they lose the game, but it's a similar type of game with the way you played it, goes down to the wire, maybe it's a close game, you're in it, you never had that problematic quarter or too many stretches where you just let go of the rope. It's certainly not great to be 1-6 if that's the case, but if you piece together back-to-back games like that, I have confidence that this team is going to start to go on a run and turn the corner. And you do have a lot of home games in the month of November, mm-hmm. So that's another thing to really hang your hat on. And hopefully that will be part of this resurgent turnaround for the Bucks. Monday night, though, is when we reconvene the Bucks and the Cavs, Part 2 from Cleveland. It's a 6 o'clock tip, so we'll probably hit the airwaves sometime at around 9 o'clock with the Bucks talk, and for those of you interested, it is 6 o'clock on the dot. It is an early tip in Cleveland for the Bucks and the Cavaliers on Monday. And just to echo the point raised by one of our callers as well, tomorrow is the last day to register to early vote in this state of Wisconsin and get registered to vote overall on Tuesday. Regardless of where you fall, make sure you cast your vote. That'll do it for tonight's show. For Brandon, I'm Justin. We will talk to you once again Monday night on Bucks Talk.